This is the Midweek Rapture broadcast with Carl Kemp. This is broadcast number 14. Holy Father, we humble our hearts before you. We thank you for the privilege of having your word and being able to study your word. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit, who will help us understand your word and to live in line with your word. We want to rightly divide your word, including end-time prophecy. We want to be fully ready to stand before you at the end of this age. We pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We just finished a verse-by-verse study of Revelation chapters 11 to 13. Now we're ready to begin a verse-by-verse study of Daniel chapter 12. We briefly discussed Daniel chapter 12 at the end of the last broadcast. Daniel chapter 12, like Revelation chapters 11 to 13, enables us to see that the Lord Jesus Christ will return right in the middle of Daniel's 70th week, and that the resurrection and glorification of his people will take place at that time. Daniel chapter 12, like many other chapters of the book of Daniel, is packed with very important prophetic details. I have some 50 pages in my book, The Midweek Rapture, discussing Daniel chapter 12. I'll read verse 1, then we'll get into the details. As is typical, I'll read from the New American Standard Bible, 1995 edition. Now at that time, Michael, the great prince who stands guard over the sons of your people, will arise, and there will be a time of distress or time of tribulation, such as never occurred since there was a nation until that time. And at that time, your people, everyone who is found written in the book, will be rescued or will escape. Let's start with the words, "Now at that time, Michael, the great prince who stands guard over the sons of your people." I'll read what I said in my book under the words, "Now at that time." These words help demonstrate that Daniel chapter 12 is closely connected with chapter 11. Daniel chapter 12 is part of the revelation introduced at Daniel 10:1. That time will begin about the time of Antichrist's abomination of desolation. As Matthew chapter 24 and other prophetic passages show, things will really begin to shake for the people of Israel at the time of Antichrist's abomination of desolation. Antichrist will be manifested as Antichrist when he goes into the rebuilt temple at Jerusalem, stops the sacrificial offerings, and demands worship. See Daniel 9:27 and 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, for example. Daniel 12:11 informs us that there will be 1,290 days from the time of the abomination of desolation until Antichrist is destroyed at the end of Daniel's 70th week. This super important information enables us to see that the abomination of desolation will take place some 30 days, a month, before the middle of Daniel's 70th week. Michael is the mighty archangel who, for one thing, is associated with the people of Israel. See Daniel 10, verses 13 and 21, Jude 1, 9, and Revelation 12, 7. Revelation 12, verses 7 to 9 show that Michael and his angels will overpower Satan and his angels and throw them down to the earth in the middle of Daniel's 70th week. Michael will arise to stand guard over the elect people of Israel during the days of the short Great Tribulation. As we have discussed, the Great Tribulation will take place during the month that will start with the abomination of desolation and end with the return of the Lord Jesus Christ in the middle of the seven-year period. As we keep reading in Daniel 12:1, we learn that Michael will just be standing guard over the elect people of Israel, those whose names will be found written in God's book of life. The elect will escape and be left as a remnant when the Great Tribulation is over in the middle of Daniel's 70th week. Now we'll further discuss the words of the second sentence of Daniel 12:1. "And there will be a time of distress or tribulation, such as never occurred since there was a nation until that time. And at that time your people, everyone who is found written in the book, will be rescued or will escape." I'll quote part of what I said in my book under these words. I have some 10 pages under these words. From my point of view, it is of crucial significance to rightly understand the meaning of these words. They take on a much greater significance because they are used by the Lord Jesus Christ in his Olivet Discourse. See Matthew 24, verses 21 and 22, and Mark 13, verses 19 and 20. Matthew 24, verses 21 and 22, in their context, help us understand Daniel 12:1 and vice versa. We will speak much of Matthew chapter 24 as we continue. The Hebrew noun translated distress in Daniel 12:1 could just as well be translated tribulation. I prefer the translation tribulation to bring Daniel 12:1 into agreement with the familiar great tribulation of Matthew 24:21. The NIV uses the word distress in both verses. The time of tribulation, such as never occurred since there was a nation until that time of Daniel 12:1, is the equivalent of the great tribulation, such as has not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will, of Matthew 24:21. I have an endnote here. I'll read a sentence from that endnote. Matthew 24:21 is not a word-for-word quotation from Daniel 12:1, but it builds on Daniel 12:1 and communicates the same meaning. Now we come to a heading, the basic content and scope of the time of great tribulation of Daniel 12:1. I'll read part of what I said under this heading. We have already discussed the meaning of the short great tribulation under Daniel 11:44 in my book and in an earlier broadcast. I believe the time of tribulation, such as never occurred since there was a nation until that time, speaks of very intense warfare that will be centered in that part of the world that includes Israel. As we have discussed, the warfare of the short great tribulation is spelled out in Daniel 11:40 44 and in Revelation 9:13 21. Other passages prophesy of that same warfare, including Joel 2, verses 30 to 32. Revelation 9, verses 13 to 21 prophesy of the very intense warfare of the sixth trumpet of the book of Revelation. As we have discussed, the sixth trumpet will sound about the time of Antichrist's abomination of desolation, about a month before the seventh and last trumpet sounds in the middle of Daniel's 70th week. The Lord Jesus Christ will return, and the resurrection, glorification, and rapture of the saints will take place at the time of the sounding of the seventh and last trumpet. Although Israel will be very much involved in the Great Tribulation, as Daniel 12:1, Matthew 24, verses 15 to 21, and other verses show, it is important to see that that warfare will be worldwide in its scope. That warfare, which will undoubtedly use nuclear weapons, will be so intense that a third of mankind will be killed in a short period of time. That warfare will last only a matter of weeks. As we have discussed, the short Great Tribulation will take place during the one-month period that will start with Antichrist's abomination of desolation and end with the return of the Lord Jesus Christ in the middle of Daniel's 70th week. And, as we have discussed, Matthew 24, verses 29 to 31 confirmed that the short Great Tribulation will be over before the Lord Jesus Christ returns and the rapture takes place. Matthew 24:29 starts out with the words, "But immediately after the tribulation of those days," referring in context to the days of the short Great Tribulation. And verses 30 and 31 go on to speak of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ with the clouds and the gathering of his people to him in the rapture with the sounding of a great trumpet. And as we have discussed, the trumpet of Matthew 24:31 is to be equated with the trumpet of 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 and 17, with the last trumpet of 1 Corinthians 15, verses 50 to 52, and with the seventh and last trumpet of Revelation 11:15. All four verses in their context prophesy of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the resurrection, glorification, and rapture of his people. It is very significant that Revelation chapters 11 to 13 show that the seventh and last trumpet will sound right in the middle of Daniel's 70th week. Now I'll read part of what I said under the words, "And at that time, at the time of the great tribulation, your people, everyone who is found written in the book, will be rescued or will escape." The words "your people" refer to Daniel's people, the people of Israel, but Daniel 12:1 informs us that only the elect of Israel, those whose names will be found written in the book, will escape. "For they are not all Israel, not all true Israel, who are descended from Israel," quoting Romans 9:6. The book is God's book of life, and I listed some cross-references. Although I'm going beyond the scope of Daniel 12:1, I should mention that every true Christian is part of God's true Israel, and their names are recorded in God's book of life. Every true Christian who is living on the earth during the time of the Great Tribulation will be under God's protective care. The Great Tribulation is not coming against Christians. A major difference between the Christians and the elect remnant of Israel who will be living on the earth at that time will be the fact that the elect remnant of Israel will not yet have become Christians. Under the words "will be rescued," I said, I believe "will escape" would be a better translation. The New American Bible has "will escape," and the New English Bible has "will escape" in the margin. Escape is a common meaning for the Hebrew verb used here. This verb is also used in Joel 2:32, which is an important cross-reference that we have discussed already in these radio broadcasts. Next, I have a subheading, "In what sense will the elect sons of Israel escape?" They will escape in the sense that they will not be cut off and perish during the days of the short Great Tribulation. They will be left as a remnant of the nation Israel in the middle of Daniel's 70th week. They will be repentant and ready to receive the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes to them shortly after the rapture. It is important that this remnant remain alive to receive the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes to them. Two important cross-references that deal with this escape of the end-time elect remnant of Israel are Joel 2, verses 30-32, and Zechariah 13:8-14:3. I go on to discuss these cross-references in some detail in my book. I highly recommend that you get a copy of my book if you haven't done so yet. We have already discussed these important cross-references to some extent in these radio broadcasts. It is very significant that Daniel 12, verses 5-11 show that the elect end-time remnant of Israel will still have 3.5 very difficult years to go through after they submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. They will be purged, purified, and refined in those refining fires, and all things will work together for good. Many verses prophesy of those very difficult years, including Daniel 7, verses 21 and 25, and Revelation 13, verses 5 and 7. Those verses speak of Antichrist overpowering the saints for 3.5 years. That concludes our study of Daniel 12:1. I'll read the verse again, then we'll go on to Daniel 12:2, which is another very important verse. Now at that time, Michael, the great prince who stands guard over the sons of your people, will arise, and there will be a time of tribulation such as never occurred since there was a nation until that time. And at that time, your people, everyone who is found written in the book, will escape. Now verse 2. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake, these to everlasting life, but the others to shame and everlasting contempt. Let's start with the words, many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake, these to everlasting life. I'll quote part of what I said in my book under these words. I'm not going to limit this discussion to the resurrection of the old covenant believers. I'm including the resurrection of all the Christians who will have died before the time of this resurrection, right in the middle of Daniel's 70th week. These believers are all part of God's true Israel, and all of them are saved through the atoning death of the Lord Jesus Christ. All the believers from Old Testament days and all true Christians will be resurrected to everlasting life at the time of the midweek return of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is, quote, the resurrection of the righteous, close quote, of Luke 14:14. This is a resurrection of life for those who did the good works of John 5:29. This is the resurrection spoken of in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20-23, and verses 51 and 52, in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 and 17, in Revelation 12:5, and in other verses. As 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 and 52, and 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 and 17 show, many of us Christians will not need to be resurrected because we won't die. We will still be living on the earth when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. We will be glorified and raptured when he returns. That sounds good to me. I have a subheading here, a comment on the word sleep and awake of Daniel 12:2. Sleep is a way to speak of physical death. To awaken is a way to speak of the resurrection of the body. These figurative expressions do not indicate soul sleep or an unconscious state, and I listed quite a few passages to back up this point. Now we'll discuss the words at the end of Daniel 12:2. But the others to disgrace and everlasting contempt. We have already discussed the resurrection of the believers, of the righteous. These words speak of the resurrection of the unbelievers, of the unrighteous. Daniel 12:2 does not make it clear that the resurrection of the believers will take place before the resurrection of the unbelievers, but this viewpoint fits the overall teaching of Daniel chapter 12 perfectly, and Revelation chapter 20 shows that the resurrection of the unbelievers will take place at the end of the millennium. Many prophetic passages confirm that the believers will be resurrected first. Now I'll read Daniel 12:3. Those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven, and those who lead the many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. The words those who lead the many to righteousness refer to the same persons as those who have insight. I'll read part of what I said in my book under the words those who have insight. The NIV has those who are wise, and in the margin has, or those who impart wisdom. The same Hebrew participle is used in Daniel 11:33 and 35, and Daniel 12:10. Daniel 11, verses 31-35, verses that deal for the most part with the days of the Maccabees, help us understand the meaning of the words, those who have insight. They were the ones who knew their God, displayed strength, and took action in those difficult days. See Daniel 11:32. They took action against Antiochus Epiphanes as he tried to force Israel to forsake God and abandon the covenant he had made with them. Whereas some Jews forsook God and his covenant in those days, see Daniel 11:30 and 32, those who had insight remained faithful. By their faithfulness, they gave understanding to the many, and they provided strong leadership. See Daniel 11:33. Because of the understanding which they gave to the many did not forsake God and His covenant. In the end times, during the 3.5-year super evil reign of Antichrist, those who have insight will undoubtedly play a similar role. See Daniel 12:10. Now I'll quote what I said under the words, "will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven, like the stars forever and ever," of Daniel 12:3. God's people can be likened to stars even during their earthly life. See Daniel 8:10 and Genesis 37:9. However, this figure of shining like stars is much more appropriate for God's people after they have been glorified. In Matthew 13:43, Jesus said, "Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." In Daniel 12:3, coming right after the mention of the resurrection, we should certainly think of the saints shining in resurrection glory. Daniel 12:3 seems to show that those who have insight and lead the many to righteousness will shine especially bright in the eternal age to come. To put it in other terms, those who are especially faithful will be rewarded with greater authority, etc., and I listed several passages here. Let's go on to Daniel 12:4. "But as for you, Daniel, conceal these words and seal up the book until the end of time." I would translate "until the time of the end" with the New King James Bible and the NIV. Many will go back and forth, and knowledge will increase. I'll read what I said under the words, "conceal these words and seal up the book until the time of the end." Daniel 8:26, Daniel 12 verses 8 to 10, and Isaiah 29:11 help us understand the meaning of these words. It is God's plan that Israel not understand, to any significant extent, the meaning of these prophecies until the time of the end. I have an endnote here which I'll read. To some extent, at least, the situation is different for Christians. The book of Revelation, for example, which has much in common with the prophecies of Daniel, is not a sealed book, and I listed some verses from the book of Revelation to demonstrate this point. Anyway, it doesn't seem that most Christians understand the book of Revelation very well yet. Now I'll read part of what I said under the words, "many will go back and forth, and knowledge will increase." These words refer to the time of the end. It is obvious that knowledge is increasing at an exponential rate in our day. But the idea here seems to be that many will make it a top priority to understand the prophecies of Daniel and the rest of God's Word. They will succeed in God's time, and knowledge of His Word will increase. The idea may be that many will go back and forth in the book of Daniel. If going back and forth here refers to literal travel, then I assume that Daniel was prophesying of travel that involved understanding God's Word. One significant channel for much revelation in the time of the end for Israel, and for all mankind to some extent, will be God's two prophets, the two witnesses of Revelation chapter 11. Much of their ministry, which will take place throughout the first half of Daniel's 70th week and will have a worldwide scope, will apparently be centered in Jerusalem. See Malachi 4 verses 5 and 6, and see Revelation 11 verses 1 to 13, especially verse 8. Verse 8 shows that their dead bodies will lie in the street of Jerusalem for 3.5 days after they are killed by Antichrist. Verses 11 and 12 show that they will also come back to life in Jerusalem and be caught up into heaven in a cloud before the eyes of the watching world. They will come back to life and be caught up right in the middle of Daniel's 70th week. Now we'll go on to Daniel 12 verses 5 to 7. These verses are extremely important and interesting. I know I say things like this a lot, but it's the truth. I'm not exaggerating. I'll read the verses. "Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, two others were standing, one on this bank of the river, and the other on that bank of the river." Verse 6. "And one said to the man dressed in linen who was above the waters of the river, how long will it be until the end of these wonders, or until the end of these astonishing things?" Verse 7. "I heard the man dressed in linen who was above the waters of the river, as he raised his right hand and his left toward heaven, and swore by him who lives forever, that it would be for a time, times, and half a time. And as soon as they finish shattering the power of the holy people, all these events, or all these things, will be completed." I'll read part of what I said in my book under these verses, but I'll have to abbreviate and modify what I said to a significant extent for this broadcast. For one thing, I have some 16 pages under these verses in my book. Daniel 12:5 begins a new scene, but Daniel 12:5 to 13 are still part of the revelation begun at Daniel 10:1. Actually, most of Daniel chapter 10 serves as an introduction to this revelation. I'll read Daniel 10 verses 4 to 6. These verses will help us identify the man dressed in linen of Daniel 12, verses 6 and 7. I have already mentioned in an earlier broadcast that I believe the man dressed in linen is God the Son, the one who became the Lord Jesus Christ through the virgin birth. I cannot be dogmatic on this point, but the evidence is quite strong for this point of view. I'll give some of the primary evidence for this point of view in this broadcast, but we won't be able to fully discuss this super important topic. And on the 24th day of the first month, while I was by the bank of the great river, that is, the Tigris, verse 5, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, there was a certain man dressed in linen, whose waist was girded with a belt of pure gold of Uphaz. Verse 6, his body also was like beryl. His face had the appearance of lightning. His eyes were like flaming torches. His arms and feet like the gleam of polished bronze, and the sound of his words like the sound of a tumult. Revelation 1, verses 10 to 20 is a very important cross-reference for Daniel 10, verses 4 to 6. In Revelation 1, verses 10 to 20, the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to the Apostle John, which certainly enhanced the glory of the super important book of Revelation. I won't take the time to read those verses from the book of Revelation, but there is a very strong correspondence between the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ there and the appearance of the man dressed in linen in Daniel 10, verses 4 to 6. I'll give two examples. In Daniel 10:6, his eyes were like flaming torches, and in Revelation 1:14 it says, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. In Daniel 10:6, his face had the appearance of lightning, and in Revelation 1:16 it says, and his face was like the sun shining in its strength. There is a very strong basis to say that the same person appeared in both passages. We'll speak quite a bit more about the identity of the man dressed in linen of Daniel 10, verses 4 to 6, and Daniel 12, verses 5 to 7 as we continue. We won't have time to look at Ezekiel chapters 9 and 10, but I should mention that the man dressed in linen appears in those chapters too. As discussed in my book, the evidence is quite strong that that man is the Son of God too. The river of Daniel 12, verses 5 to 7, was presumably the river mentioned in Daniel 10:4, the Tigris. The man dressed in linen who was above the waters of the river in Daniel 12, verses 5 to 7, was surely the same person as the man dressed in linen of Daniel 10, verses 4 to 6. This spectacular man was apparently also mentioned in Daniel 8, verses 13 to 16. These verses are discussed in some detail in my book. Here I'll just mention that that man answered a question similar to the question asked of the man dressed in linen in Daniel 12, verses 5 to 7, and that man gave instructions to Gabriel. I'll read two paragraphs that I have under the heading, Who was this man dressed in linen? Under Daniel 8:13, I have already mentioned that I believe the man dressed in linen was the eternal Son of God in his pre-incarnate state. This is a common view in the commentaries, but many believe the man was a high-level created angel. Whether this man was the Son of God or a high-level created angel, this revelation given to Daniel, along with the rest of the book of Daniel and the rest of Scripture, is the Word of God, and it is true. But if this man was the Son of God, it imparts some extra majesty, glory, and significance to this revelation. Compare Revelation 1, verses 10 to 20, where the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to the Apostle John. I think of Daniel being permitted to interact with the Son of God, and I think of the end-time remnant of Israel. The time will come when they will understand these prophecies of Daniel, and right in the center of these prophecies, they will see their Savior and Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who was so intimately involved in the affairs of Israel, the one who is sometimes called the Angel of the Lord in the Old Testament. The word angel has a capital A. I have an endnote here where I say, there is widespread agreement that the Son of God frequently appeared in the Old Testament as the Angel of the Lord, and I listed many passages. It must be understood that this angel of God, this messenger of God, was not a created being. Some passages in the Old Testament show that he was deity with God the Father. He was even called Yahweh several times. We're almost out of time for this broadcast, but I'll briefly summarize the message of Daniel 12, verses 5 to 7 before we stop. The man dressed in linen appears in an exalted position above the waters of the river at a time corresponding with the return of the Lord Jesus Christ with the clouds in the middle of Daniel's 70th week. He was asked how long it would be until the end of these astonishing things that were happening. The astonishing things had already begun with Antichrist's abomination of desolation and the short great tribulation when he was asked the question. He answered that it would be for a time, times, and half a time, which refers to the second half of Daniel's 70th week, and as soon as they finish shattering the power of the holy people, all these astonishing things will be completed. As we have discussed, Many prophetic verses speak of Antichrist attacking the saints throughout the second half of Daniel's 70th week. The saints are the repentant, elect, end-time remnant of the nation Israel, who will have submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ starting at the time of his coming, right in the middle of Daniel's 70th week. As we have discussed, Antichrist will make war against Christians throughout the second half of the seven-year period. See Revelation 12:17, for example. The astonishing things associated with the days of Antichrist will come to an end when the Lord Jesus Christ judges him and casts him into the eternal lake of fire at the end of Daniel's 70th week. See Revelation 19, verses 20 and 21, for example. We'll further discuss Daniel 12, verses 5 to 7 in the next broadcast. It's time to stop. God bless you. I would like to ask a favor of you. If you're blessed by the broadcast, I would very much appreciate hearing from you. Thanks in advance. I'll make a few announcements. Everything I'll say here and a whole lot more is on my internet site at carlkempteachingministries.com. That's Carl with a K, Kemp, K-E-M-P, and ministries, plural. carlkempteachingministries.com. Individual CDs of the broadcast are available for $3 plus $2 shipping and handling for each order. The first CD has broadcast numbers 1 and 2, and so on. Today's broadcast is number 14. My book, The Midweek Rapture, which is a 360-page book, is $20 plus $2 shipping and handling for each order. A chapter of the book is included on my internet site. The book is also available from Amazon.com and from ArmageddonBooks.com. For the purchase of CDs and or the book, make the checkout to CFC, Christian Fellowship Church, and send the order to Carl Kemp, Post Office Box 1816, St. Charles, Missouri, 63302. The purchase of CDs or books is not tax deductible, but if you would like to help pay for radio time, which would be greatly appreciated, you can send a tax deductible offering made out to CFC to the address mentioned above. May God's good and righteous and holy will be accomplished in our lives. In Jesus' name.